I think I'm turned on now. There I am. I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs. Oh, Come to the Altar. Let's pray. And we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for this season, God, where we celebrate your coming. God, you didn't have to come, but you chose to come. God, you saved a wretch like me. God, you laid your life down. And Lord, you took your life back up. And today we rejoice, God, because we know that in your hands you have all power. But you see into each circumstance that we face right now. You know the inner workings. You know the end from the beginning. You call things that aren't as though they are. God, we humbly submit ourselves to you now. We pray that you would have your way during this hour. We acknowledge you as King, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. So, church at Fairhaven, I wrestled in the Word again in preparation for my time here. God has me in a special place right now. Coming out of 2015 and into the beginning parts of 2016, almost all of it, God called me to a specific thing. He called me to do something. And honestly, Andre wasn't quite ready to do what God wanted him to do. I had every excuse in the book as to why it wasn't time. And, it was rough. I had a lot of ups, a lot of downs. I had some successes and I had some failures. Seeds that I planted in the ground many, many years before that were not of God, began to sprout up in my life. And rather than use the Word and the fellowship of the saints and prayer to overcome them, I kind of allowed the concerns and the cares of the world to take away the burn, the fire that was inside of me. It was a hard time. And my wife, she was there with me through it all, and she was concerned, and we had many ups and downs in our marriage, and it even came a time where I never stopped believing in Christ, but I started to lose sight of his keeping power. There's a deacon at the church that I came back to Fort Wayne when I left the military, and he always prays that God would keep us in his keeping power. And when I first heard it, I used to laugh at myself, and, he has that down south twang on everything that he says. But he always says, God, keep us in your keeping power. And in this specific time in my life, I didn't feel like that I was being kept. And it wasn't because God was unable. It was me. And it was this veil between me and God. No matter how much I tried to pray myself out of this thing, no matter how much I tried to go to church, I just wasn't feeling it. Has anybody else ever experienced this dryness? Like I was just in this cold season where, I'll hear another story, Bible story, another sermon, go to church, and it just became just so repetitive. And, I started to feel like, God, is this it? Is this all that's going to happen? And it reminded me of a time earlier in my life. I was in the military, and I'm gonna tell you a little bit about myself today, because God wants me to minister from where I am currently. All right, so I got to kind of give you a little bit of backdrop, and then I'm gonna get into scripture. So I went into the military back in 2000. Went into the military, take care of my daughter. And, you know, I was getting in, you know, just doing too much, you know, no serious trouble, but too much trouble. So I go into the military, and, you know, I thought I found, you know, what I wanted to do in life. You know, I had great success in the military. And honestly, I started taking care of myself. As my mom can tell you, that was something that I always desired to do, was to be self-sufficient and to take care of myself. And but honestly, the more that I tried to take care of myself, the further that I got away from God. And but ironically, it seemed like things were going well. You know, I had more money. I had more freedom. I was living in Washington, D.C. I had a great job. I had millions of people coming to see me each year, you know. So, I mean, it was one of those things that I'm like, God, what do I need to be? What do I need to follow you for? I gave my life to Christ at a young age, and I knew I was saved, but, you know, it was more like for what? So fast forward a few years, and we're at war in Iraq, and, you know, I was in fierce opposition to us going to war with Iraq, Afghanistan, any of the countries. I'm not going to get into I have my own personal reasons for that, but I got word that I was ordered to lead troops into combat in Iraq in 2003, and I trained during 2004, and we left 2005. And I was forever changed by that experience. And prior to leaving, my uncle called me and he said, Andre, you know, I'm concerned about you. I want to make sure that your faith is strong. I want to make sure that, you know, you have that relationship with Christ, because there's no guarantee that you're coming back. And he was one of the only ones who was real enough to say that to me. And I know it was a trying time for my mom. I know she was a nervous wreck during that time, and my kids were younger. And once I got overseas, my eyes were opened. You know, first of all, on how blessed we are in the United States of America. First of all, we're blessed. We're blessed. And in spite of all the things that are going on in this country, I saw that we were blessed. But God began working on my heart in a special way while I was there. I had opportunity to minister to interpreters that were out there with us. And I found myself engaging in the word multiple times with Iraqis in various circumstances. And one time in particular, though, I wasn't following Christ. All right, I wasn't following Christ during this season. And some old vets had shipped over a case of moonshine for us. And, you know, for us, you know, having been in the middle of the desert for 6 months, they sent it in Gatorade bottles. So they wrapped it up in the Gatorade. It was brilliant. It was wonderful. So, you know, we got out of patrol. We had been on 18-hour patrols. And we were leading the effort to the Iraqis to sign their first constitution. So, you know, I pulled the security detail for that many 18-hour days during this detail. So we come home, we come back to the barracks, and there these Gatorade bottles are in our rooms. And we're like, oh, Gatorade, oh, but it looks clear Gatorade. And so we smell it, and I'm like, oh, this ain't Gatorade, you know. And, you know, so it was, smelled like rubbing alcohol. It was so strong. And but, you know, needless to say, we had a party that night. All right, we had a party tonight, and if anyone's ever tried moonshine, I don't recommend it. It was nasty. All it took was just a couple sips of it, and especially since we had been, you know, we hadn't been drinking, and my head was spinning. And we still, when I see my buddies on Facebook, some of us still talk about that night, because some of them took it too far. So the next morning, we had an assembly, a formation, because we had just lost two soldiers 2 months prior, and we were going through their memorial service. And I was hungover off the couple sips that I had. And it's 140 degrees, literally, in the desert. Like, I'm telling you, this is literal temperature, 140 degrees. And we're in full battle gear. And we have this general that's about to fly in to, you know, honor these soldiers who had fallen. And the general's late. So we're standing out there, and I'm literally, my vision is starting to get blurry. And, you know, I have a lot on the line. It's not just, oh, I'm about to pass out. I have a lot on the line. First of all, my health is on the line, but also half a month's pay for 2 months is on the line. Because if I go down, the first thing they're going to do is test my blood. It's the first thing they're going to do. And once they found that I had alcohol in my system, you know, there was going to be some punishment that came. And I would have deserved it. So I'm sitting there and I'm praying. I prayed to God every day before I went out the gate. I said Psalm 23, every time I went out the gate. And I prayed to God to bring me home safely every single day. But this day it was a different type of prayer. It was a fervent prayer. Like, God, please don't let me go down. If there's any way possible, if you could just bring me some water. I need some water, like, bad. I'm praying in my mind, and I'm telling you, I'm a minute from out of there. And I didn't tell you about the job that I had in Washington, D.C., but I was a tomb guard in Arlington National Cemetery. And, you know, so I've been in various ceremonial circumstances when the president was there or high brass was there. And out of the blue, our company commander breaks ranks, comes back, and I'm like, oh, he knows. I must be swerving or something. And the company commander's walking towards me, and he says, Sergeant Beasley, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, I'm done. You know, I'm like, I'm done. And I'm praying this silent prayer in my mind. And he says, look at this. And he turns to the side and he has a bottle of ice cold water in the side of his pocket. He said, you were in a ceremonial unit, right? Yeah, I was. He's like, how's it going to look when the general gets here? If I have this water, this tall, because we had like liter waters sticking out of the side of my cargo pocket. What is he going to say? It's like, it's kind of a bad look, sir. He's like, that's what I thought. Can you hold this for me? I was like, well, I hold it. I'm going to drink it, sir. Go ahead. You got it. And so in my mind, I'm bugging. I'm like, God, just answer my prayers. So from that day forward, I start proclaiming the gospel boldly. And I knew I was called to preach way before then, but literally for the rest of the time, I think that had to have been August. We came back home in January. From that day forward, I told that story to anybody who would listen. And I don't know if anyone believed. I don't know if anybody was saved. But I didn't go down that day. And I had a liter of ice cold water that brought me through that hour and a half long ceremony. Even after having went in the wrong direction, God still came and saw to my needs. And He's done multiple things in my life like that. And this morning, I wrestled all night. I'm off about 2 hours of sleep right now. You know, I'm wrestling all night on what God wants me to share in this Advent season. And I'm thinking about hope, and I'm thinking about the things that's going on. And, you know, God tells us in 1 Peter to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. So I'm gonna share a little bit about my reason and my hope, and I'm gonna pray that God blesses this word and that you find hope through the scriptures as well. Because as I look at my life, as I was singing, "Oh, come to the altar," I felt it. I seen my life was flashing before my eyes as I was literally going before the throne, as I was coming before the altar. I saw these times when God intervened in my life. Today, this is a personal thing, and hopefully you can connect with how God has been connecting with you, because for me this is really a personal thing that God is doing. And so when I started off, I mentioned you know, the struggle that I was in about a year ago. And since then, God has been slowly drawing me out of that. And as He's been drawing me out, you know, He's really been working in my heart. You know, God revealed to me 3 weeks ago. He said, Andre, you're struggling with idolatry. And this is a huge thing for me because it was literally, I'm going to this men's study. I don't know if you ever heard of the Quest for Authentic Manhood or Series 33. I'm going through this study with these men, and we're talking about idols right now. And one of the preachers that was preaching, he said, anything that's more fundamental in your life than God is an idol. And I started looking at my life, and I'm like, wait a minute, I got a lot of stuff that's more fundamental than God. You know, my job is more fundamental, my schoolwork, my family, you know. And while all of these are good things, and God wants me to care for these things, they became fundamental in my life more than Him. And He said, Andre, you know, I need to do some heart surgery on you. You know, I said this to my wife, and I confessed to my son, I confessed to my wife, and I confessed to one of my accountability partners. And my wife kind of pushed back. She said, oh, don't be so hard on yourself. My mom tells me that all the time. Don't be so hard on yourself. And I wasn't trying to be hard on myself, but the weight that God, like the Holy Spirit really convicted me, He said, Andre, I need to do heart surgery on you. I was explaining it to my wife the other day. I was like, it's like going to the doctor and the doctor saying, we got to rush you to the emergency room right now and do heart surgery on you. That's the weight that I felt. And I had about a 36-hour, I would call it depression. And then God snapped me out of it. He's like, it's okay, you know, you're forgiven. But it was important for me to understand the season that I'm truly in. And I don't know who else is wrestling with this cold, dark place. I don't know who else has been feeling distant. I don't know who else has, you know, been struggling with depression. I don't know who else has been discontent with their current situation. It seems like God, you know, has kind of just left you hanging and dry. I don't know who's been having trouble with their faith. When they read the word, it's just not really pricking that place. But God has a word for you. And in Isaiah 40, I don't know who has their Bibles with them. And I had thought about bringing a clicker, because I like the clicker sometimes, but sometimes it gets in the way. But because I'm a teacher by craft, by trade, and by nature. But I just been really, you know, I was like, I'm not going to do it this time. But Isaiah 40, this is one of the words that really, it just really encourages me all the time. And sometimes we forget it. Most of you have heard it. Isaiah 40 verse 28 is where I'm going to start at. Isaiah 40 verse 28. I'm reading from the New King James. I brought my NASB today, but I'm going to go with the New King James. Verse 28. Isaiah 40 verse 28. It says, have you not known? I'm not going to run through this. I want you to really, really, really focus on each line in here. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord. I talked about this last time that I was here. Yahweh, the personal God. The God that sees everything that's going on in our minds. The one that sees everything that's going on in our circumstances. The one who knows your thoughts. The one who knows what steps you're going to take. The one who orders your path, where you see capital L-O-R-D. That is Yahweh. And it says, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. And I'm going to keep going through here because that's where I was. That's where I was all of 2016, is I was struggling for strength. I had my ups and I had my lows, but I was struggling for strength in this season. And what was happening is that I didn't have my anchor. God has an anchor for our souls. And I'm gonna show you what that anchor is here in a second, but He has an anchor. See, ships, they have these, I don't know how much you know about ships, but you know they have anchors, but I didn't know like really what the whole purpose of the anchor was fully for the larger ships until I started studying for this sermon. And so when a ship goes out into the ocean, anybody ever been in the ocean? Anybody been in the ocean during a storm? It'll blow your mind away. Like if you think storms are bad on land, like some of the storms we had last year in Fort Wayne were crazy and around the world. But if you ever, I hope you never have to experience a storm on the ocean. I'm talking waves hundreds of feet high. Like literally, I'm telling you. So I was caught in one when I was about 13, 14 years old, and it was just nuts. And I'm telling you, I was afraid for my life. We were out in the middle of Cape Cod. I'm not going to get into the story, but anchors are used so that the ship isn't tossed to and fro when strong winds or currents come in. They drop the anchor to keep the ship on course, on path. I'm thinking that they drop. I'm like, how does the anchor test the bottom of the ocean? And the ocean is so, you know, deep. You know, I'm trying to figure this thing out, but no, that's not how it works. They drop it pretty low and it's real heavy, but it's just to keep the ship from being beat, from running into rocks, and from running it and to keep it on course is what the anchor is for. That anchor goes down, but the anchor that I'm going to reveal to you today, it goes up. The anchor that keeps us strong, that keeps us on course, it goes up. And not only does it go up, it goes into the throne room of God. And this is, it's powerful. And I'm gonna teach you how to. It's already there. If you believe in Christ, if you've placed your faith in Him, the anchor is already there. The anchor is there already. All right? So we're going to get there, but sometimes we have to do something in our mind. See, God didn't want to do it all for us. He's reestablishing this relationship of trust and faith. We have this God-sized, I know you've heard it before, void inside of us. And only God can fill that void. We were built, we were designed as individuals to operate in a loving relationship with God. We place all of our trust in Him. And when we get off center, like I did, you know, when I was overseas about a year ago, when I got off center, it was like I was on that ocean again. It was like I was in the midst of that storm. And I did everything in my power to lower the anchors in my life, the anchors that I knew, surrounding myself with the people I wanted to surround myself with, making more money, getting another degree. I surrounded myself with all of these things that I felt were going to keep me safe and in control of my life. But there's this anchor that God was trying to reveal, and He said, have you not known? Have you not heard? Are you thinking about me? Are you listening to the preached word? Are you realizing that I am an everlasting God? I do not change. I am immovable. I was the same yesterday. I'm the same today, and I'm the same. I will be the same in the end. And He said, I am the creator of the ends of the earth. The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. I seen it in your eyes. I'm going to tell you today. I seen someone in here today who needs strength. And I'm telling you right now, trust in the Lord. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Son, you strong. My son is strong. He played varsity basketball, Bishop Lewis. 10th grade, you know what I'm saying? And my mom was watching him yesterday, and she's like, oh, Andre got some muscles on him now, you know what I'm saying? And as he grows, you know, I'm proud of my son. You know, he makes mistakes, but I'm still proud of my son. But son, even though you're young, you're going to get weak sometime too. You're going to grow weary too. And there's going to be nothing you can do about growing weary. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting is hard. Waiting is a hard thing to do. Even if we have faith in what God is about to do, the waiting is very difficult. She started touching on what I was going to get into. I was like, all right, good. I ain't got to cover that. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the world hopes. As in, I wish, or like, oh God, I really hope this happens. But the believer, because of our anchor, I'm going to show you the anchor in here in about 1 minute. All right, because of the anchor that we have, because of the faith that we have, our hope is not a wish. It's a certain expectation, like this thing is going to happen. I know it's going to happen. The reason I know what God is going to do in your life, Andre, is because of His goodness, because of His mercy, because of His nature, and because of His promise. God has promised certain things to us, and if you don't know what the promises are, you might want to get familiar with them, because those promises will be the foundation that drives you through. Faith brings us into salvation. But hope is how we connect to the anchor that's in heaven. You use faith as a foundation to stand on. But the hope is what gives you strength to endure. Satan's number one objective is to get you to become hopeless. He wants you to lose all hope. He wants you to lose hope in God. He wants you to lose hope in His promises. He wants you to lose hope in His Word. He wants you to see all the craziness in the world. I had to turn off the news. I told you I had to turn off the news a couple weeks ago, and it's been helping. I had to stay off Facebook. It's been helping. Get off Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Telling you, young people, Instagram, Snap, telling you, you got to be careful. Think about it. Think about how you start to feel at first you feel okay, and then after a while you start to get angry, and then you start to feel down. So you got to put that stuff down. He said, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I used to have dreams when I was a kid that I was flying. Anybody ever had a dream that they were flying? Oh, I got one. Man, like over here too. Flying, like for real. Like running and boom, I'm in the air, gone. And those was my favorite dreams. You know? So when I read this, I'm like, ooh. I know that God's not going to physically allow me to fly, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I'm like, God, I want that. But God revealed something to me. He revealed to me that Andre, it ain't always time to fly. You're not going to fly all the time. So look at the next verse. He says, they shall run and not be weary. Sometimes He's not going to let you fly, but He'll allow you to run. They shall walk and not be faint. Some of you ain't going to be able to run, but He'll allow you to walk. This is grace. God is showing us the grace. We may want to fly, but God says, no, I need you to walk right now. I'm going to give you the grace and the strength to walk through this thing. So now I'm going to take you over to Hebrews chapter 6. I got to show you the anchor. And then I'm going to give you some encouraging words. All right, I'm going to show you this anchor real quick. Hebrews chapter 6. So, I'm going to start at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. God had made a promise to Abraham. He promised Abraham that He would give him a land, and that He would bless him, and that the whole world would be blessed, and he would be the father of many, many nations. And Abraham was about 75 years old when he made this promise. When he made this promise to him, and Abraham had to wait for the promise to come to fruition. He had to wait 25 years from the time God said, "I'm about to bless you." He had to wait 25 years from that time until the time when the promise came through. Verse 13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, that's God, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This is the thing about that statement right there. He got the son, but Abraham hadn't fully possessed the land yet. And another part of the promise was that he would be a father of many, many, many nations, and that these nations would be blessed through him. Some of this didn't happen until later, but it's happening now. And Abraham sees it. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. So God is saying, look, I've sworn by myself, and I've made this oath. Men, you understand oaths. You understand swearing. So then God goes on to say this. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Who's the heir of promise in here today? Is anybody in here heir of promise? The immutability, that means the unchangingness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that's God's nature, that's God's word, two things that will never change, God has made this promise, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, we might have strong belief, we might have strong hope, who have fled for the refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Has anybody sought refuge with Christ? Has anybody went to Him? If you haven't, and you don't feel like you need to, don't worry, you will one day. You're going to feel like you need this refuge, and you have nowhere else to turn. And this is what God says. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest over the order of Melchizedek. And I wish I could just unpack all of this. I don't have time. But Jesus is our high priest. There was an order back in the day where they had to kill animals in order for our sins to be covered. Jesus, He was broken. We're going to break bread here in a minute. His body was broken and His blood was shed, not only to cover our sins, but to cover our consciences. Anybody in here struggle with their own conscience? Anybody in here struggle with their own conscience? Anybody in here struggle with whether they're good enough, with whether they're really saved, with whether God is really going to do what He said He's going to do, with whether God is going to manifest something in your life? God said, take my blood, take my body, sprinkle this over your conscience. Stir up the hope that I've put inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the seal. The Holy Spirit is the hope that God has put inside of you. And God says, focus on that. Focus on that hope. Focus on that. And see, so Satan wants to distract us from that, but God says, I want you to do this. I'm going to show you what, and I'm going to close this out. This is what He wants you to do. All right, I know I'm running today. We're going to run over here to Romans. We're going to run over here to Romans because Paul has something very specific to say about God's love for us. You know, back when I was a new Christian, I thought that being a Christian was all about rules and being good and, you know, trying to just be perfect. And God does want us to be perfect, and He does want us to live holy lives, but we will never be able to live up to God's standards. So I'm glad that the way that we're saved is by faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Looking at this anchor of hope, entering into this season of Advent, where God came into the world to save our souls, where He showed His love for us. It says, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God gave us His Son, He's going to give you everything you need to get you to the destination, the hope of glory. That's our destination. Our destination is the hope of glory. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is bringing a charge against you, Andre? Nobody can bring a charge against you. There's only one judge, and that's Christ. It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? This is the part that really almost made me jump out of my seat. Because the one who condemns, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. God is making intercession for us. He's the judge. And He's our defender. And He's making intercession for us. And He's paid the price for us. This is our anchor. This is how you anchor yourself. You anchor yourself when the winds come and the storms are blowing and you're feeling like things are getting out of control. This is what you have to focus on. The anchor is in the throne room of God. And you connect through to the anchor by focusing on these truths. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accustomed as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Andre, I'm persuaded by this thing. Like, I'm certain of this thing, Andre. No matter what I've done, no matter what my circumstances were, are, or will be, I'm persuaded by this thing that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus had one task when He came here. He had a task. He had a task. I gotta run and show you. This is it. I gotta run and show you what His task was. I gotta show you what His task was because it was powerful. It got me through my weekend. John chapter 6, as I close this out. John chapter 6. Jesus just got done revealing who He was. He revealed to the woman at the well that he had the living water, that He was the living water. He revealed to a group of people that He had just fed with bread that He was the bread of life. Verse 35, chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. He will never cast you out. All that comes to Him, He will by no means cast out. We got people who've walked away from the faith. I got something stern in me that's nuts. I got some people in my life who look like they've walked away from the faith. The fruit that's in their lives look like they were never saved. But I'm reading this thing, and I got a feeling that anchor that God put inside of them. Look at what Jesus says. Oh, man, it's about to get better. Look at what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says to that group of people. This is the will of the Father who sent me. There's one thing that God can't do. Sorry, it's two things. He can't fail and He can't lie. So look at what this says right here. It says, this is the will of the Father who sent me. Get this. He can't lie and He can't fail. Y'all with me? He can't lie and He can't fail. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me. He goes into it again, and He says that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So when I put my faith in my God, when I was 9 years old, and I heard that preacher, Dr. Reverend White, calling me, speaking directly to me in out of all of them folks. And I came and I'm like, I'm coming, you know. And that day when He dumped me in the water and I felt that warm blanket come down on top of me and wrap me up. I ain't talking about the physical blanket. I'm talking about the warmth that I felt and the desire in my heart that led me to live a life that was dedicated to Him for many, many years. Even though I went astray, even though I turned away, God said, no, I will not lose Him. I will bring Him through. Why? Because my God, my Father has declared that it will happen. You are in my hand and I am in the Father's hand. And Jesus said, I will lose Nothing. I'm telling you right here, it says it if you don't believe me, if you're struggling with it. And I can show you more verses, but I ain't going to do it today. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him. That's your anchor, son. That's your anchor, young lady. Anyone who sees that He is the Son of God and believes in Him, that is your anchor. He has a destination for you. I speak blessings and healing and comfort over your wife. Every circumstance that is happening right now is leading you towards a destination. I speak healing and blessings over you, my wife. Every circumstance, every trial God is taking you through right now, He's blessing you and drawing you close to Him. He has an anchor in heaven right now connected to your heart. And all you have to do is put your hope in Him and He will appropriate the blessing in your life. Everything that you're going through right now, every struggle, every toss and turn, God has ordained this time specifically for you. He's ordained this time for each person here, and He will lose nothing because it is the will of God. This is where our hope is placed. This is where we have to focus. This is what God is calling us to. Fairhaven. God is about to do something special in your midst. This is a small, close-knit church. Been through a lot. I can tell. I can see it. God sees you. He understands the inner workings of what's going on, but He has an anchor. And you guys are going to be a blessing, and I thank you for having me here today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this opportunity. We thank you for your love. And God, as we enter into this time of communion, God, help us to examine ourselves. God, if we have any sin in our life that's unconfessed, if we have anything that we've been neglecting to do, Father, we pray that you would bring that into the forefront of our minds in order that we may repent, in order that we may be in right standing with you before we take communion, Father God. Mend all the broken relationships that we have. God, you see what's happening inside of our hearts. You see what's going on inside of our minds. Help us to connect with you. God, we know that you're steadfast. Help us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your work, Father God. Strengthen us, keep us, bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we move into this time of communion, this is another time where God has given us the opportunity to grab hold of that anchor, to reflect on what He has done. The bread represents His body, which was broken for us. Said, do this in remembrance of me. And we do this to celebrate the second coming of Christ. In this season of Advent, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but more so, we should be celebrating the second coming of Christ. And while His body was broken and His blood was shed, we hope, not with a wish, not with I wonder if it's really going to happen, but we wait in anticipation for His return. But we also pray that He waits for some of our loved ones, yes, because many of them haven't turned. Take this time to reflect before we partake in communion.